You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Loud out. What do you got?
All right, so this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. There is no affordable or desirable counties to live in California, according to a recent study by MoneyGeek. According to them, there's a few adjacent affordable and desirable counties in California, which is Riverside, which is the closest one to us, and four other areas in California. But I wanted to give you guys the top three that made the list. One is Clayton County, Georgia. The other one is Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and Lexington County in South Carolina. I thought about it because I want to buy a house, and I'm like, do I really want to leave California? And I'm like, hell nah. I'd rather like pay the big bucks and stay here just because I love Cali so much. Yeah. And I know it's not like a huge deal, and like we know how expensive it is here, but would you guys really like move out of California?
No, I moved in, so that's definitely not the case. Here's what I would say. I know people who just from an affordability standpoint, right, couldn't do it anymore and moved to Austin, Texas or wherever, or you know what I mean? Not only based on economics, like really no other reason other than economics. So I get it. I also know plenty of people that live in Riverside and commute to LA every single day.
Oh, dude, listen, I know people. I'm not joking around. San Diego drive to L.A., take a train, Orange County, and I'm talking South Orange County, San Clemente, go up to L.A., people in Temecula that go north to L.A. or go south to San Diego.
Right.
People will live somewhere in the middle where it's an hour, hour and a half rather than two and change just to be in Southern California. Because here's the thing, George. You know, yesterday was the 4th of July, and I couldn't stop saying it to myself. We live in the greatest country in the world. Hey, look, I got it. We certainly have our fair share of issues in our country, and we saw what happened yesterday in a 4th of July parade. We have our issues, but we live in the greatest country in the world, and we live in the greatest region in the greatest country in the world.
California, if it was its own country, would be like the 5th or 6th largest economy in the world.
But the Southern California coastline
is
one of the most beautiful and spectacular places on the planet to be. And so we get this, but I'll tell you something, George. I had friends that moved to Austin, Texas, like right in the beginning of COVID. But then you know what happened to Austin, Texas? It became such a desirable place that the real estate went crazy California style.
Yeah.
I know people that have left Southern California, and I thought they were out of their minds, moved to places like Nashville, Tennessee. I'm like, so how is it? It must suck, right? And they're like, dude, it's great. I love it. The people are nice. The gas is cheaper. The food is cheaper. Nashville rocks. You can live in other places in the country and find great things to do, great places, but there is nothing, nothing like Southern California.
I agree wholeheartedly.
There's also nothing like the Southern California gas prices.
Fair, true.
Got an electric car.
Can't afford. I was about to buy a new electric car, and I can't even afford one now because they're so expensive now. Quite a catch 22.
Should have listened to me when I told you back in the fall.
Well, Sedano, I had to save up for it. And then I had the money to save up for it, it was no longer in the same price range. So, you know.
Well, look, I do think that things like that will eventually tail back a little bit. Not maybe to the point where it was, but it'll tail back a little bit.
So. You know, man, it's true, though. It is a hard place to live. I grant it. It is a very hard place to live because it's very, very expensive. Like, my parents will come out here from Florida. My parents live in Boca del Vista, Phase 4, okay? They live in Retirement Central. They come out here and they're like, $7 for gas? How do you possibly live? You know, we go to a restaurant and the bill comes and my father's like, I don't know how you do it. I just don't know how you do it. Yeah. They see the prices in California like, how do you live here?
My parents don't know how much rent I pay. They would freak out. Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah, I bet they would.
Mm-hmm. I will say my rent here is more than three times what my mortgage payment was where I lived in
suburbia.
Yeah,
but you know what? You have sunshine 365 days a year pretty much.
That's true.
And it's 75 degrees pretty much every day.
And if you want to go to the beach and you want to go skiing
in the
same day, you can actually do that.
Right.
You know I mean, this is the greatest place
in
the world.
Hands down.
I mean, it's just crazy how much I love it here.
Hands down. Like, it's people ask me all the time, would you go anywhere? No. No, I would not go anywhere else.
Oh, I'm not saying that, by the way. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I wouldn't go anywhere else. I'm just saying this is the greatest place in the world.
Oh.
But I'm not saying I would never leave.
Oh, see, I am.
See, my best friend lived in Beverly Hills for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And he went from being a guy who, I mean, he just came out to L.A. looking, you know, with a dream like everybody else. It wasn't necessarily to become a star actor.
Yeah.
But he did. He accomplished his goals. And you know what he did, George? He moved back to Florida. Where he's got a great life in Florida, and the tax situation is so much better for him.
Nah, I'm good.
I mean, yeah. Listen, I know it's on my mind in the future.
What am I
going to do?
Not me. I mean, I still have a property there, but I'm rarely there. Rarely there.
Greatest country, greatest region, and we are the one tiny little percentage of people that gets to live here or chooses to live here, and it's the greatest place, man. It really is.
All right, that is what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. So,
I tell you how much I love Southern California? Did I mention that to you?
Yeah. Not enough where you wouldn't ever leave, though.
Yeah, only because I've seen other people leave and go, you know, other parts of the country are great, too. Yeah.
Not me. I'm staying. So, you can come visit me here.
I'm not leaving yet, and I don't know that I'm ever really going to leave. Because every time I mention it to my kids, I'm like, what do you guys think about going back to Florida? You know? They're like, nah, no chance. There's no chance I'm going to Florida.
There you go. Me and the Kaplan kids. They can come live with Uncle George.
I know. They're all like, as soon as I graduate college, I'm coming right back here. I'm like, then why didn't you go to college here?
That's true. Why did they make you spend
pains in my asses?
No, but it is nice for them to get away from it for a little while and see why it's so great here.
Yep. Pains in my asses.
If you have the ability, and Dad clearly has the ability to pay for it. So there's that.
Mm, well, that's what you say.
Uncle George. All right. So, Cappy.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I teased before we went to break about how I'm going to answer your question. I have questions for you, rather, on the other side. And then when we went to break, I said, you know what, Cappy? I want you to tee me up exactly the way you just said it right now as we were heading to break. And your response was?
What did I say?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 And then people wonder why I react the way I react sometimes. Because
it was really funny.
What do you mean? You just said it. Like, why do you not remember what you just said?
Right. You go, dude, just say exactly the same thing you just said. And my answer was, what did I say? Like, tell me what I said. I'll write it down. Tell me what I said.
I don't remember. I decided.
Yeah.
Instead of you trying to remember and not do it as well as you did the first time,
mm-hmm.
I told Laura, can you just clip it? And she's like, yeah, of course. And I'm like, this will be much easier. So, Laura, just play for Cappy what he couldn't remember that he said literally 5 minutes ago.
She's saying, this is my opinion here, we gave our organization over to LeBron. This whole mess with Russell Westbrook, it's kind of on LeBron. And the fix is a guy in Kyrie Irving that LeBron really wants, who, let's face it, most of us don't really feel like we can count on. So we've already given the organization to LeBron. Now we have to give it to him again. And does LeBron really care about us, the Lakers? Or does LeBron only care about getting to his finish line and working our brands together? I just, listen.
Wait, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, this may end up being a really long Lakers podcast, basically, today with our shenanigans in between. But I'm fine with that if you're fine with that, because I have questions now for you.
I'm wide open.
How did you not remember that? You literally—it was like a good 40-second, diatribe.
I don't know. The way you asked it to me, it was like I must have said something really interesting there. And, you know, do you have like highlights for me or like bullet points, perhaps, that you heard that you wanted me to repeat?
Well, no. I mean, you just said it right there. So now I'm going to ask you questions. Are you ready?
All right, go ahead.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When the Lakers got into business with LeBron,
mm-hmm.
do you think they knew what they were really getting into?
100%.
I disagree.
Really?
Because if you're having these conversations right now
mm-hmm.
about LeBron and putting team first or whatever you want to call it, right? Like, what is it she said? You know, he understood team over self, she said about Kobe, meaning your rewards would come if you value team goals over your own, then everything would fall into place.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And listen, I think LeBron James is arguably the greatest basketball player that has ever donned the planet.
Okay. But I hear a butt coming.
I think that LeBron James is the most gifted player, for sure.
Now I hear more butts coming. Okay, keep going.
No, there's no butts. I'm just telling you. Like, mm-hmm. However.
Okay,
no
not
but,
a butt.
However.
Not a butt.
Yeah. I would say that LeBron James has been very open about player empowerment and him being the guy making the decisions on his own career. Like, I remember when he went back to Cleveland, and Lindsay will probably specifically remember this, when he was being questioned about leaving Miami and going back to Cleveland. And he made a comment very similar to what I said, which is like, well, wait a second. So when like a GM like trades you or cuts you, nobody gives them grief, but because a player wants to leave, like they're the bad guy. Like, I don't get that. Now it's not exactly what he said, but I'm paraphrasing. Lindsay, do you recall a similar statement?
Yeah. I know that he also likened it to like going away to college too. Like,
right.
Everybody needs to go away and grow. Why be mad at the player?
Right. Like, yeah, exactly. Cappy, like your kids, they needed to go away and grow and get
away
from
you. But what are you saying though?
What I'm saying is LeBron has been very vocal about like, hey man, I'm going to do what's in my best interest, just like the organization has done to a million other players, even though the player wouldn't be cool with it.
But wait, are you saying that the Lakers organization, Genie and so on, they did not know when they got into the LeBron biz that LeBron was a partner? He wasn't just a ball player?
I mean, I think I think there is saying it and then really understanding it is what I would say. It's no different than when we have conversations about athletes. Let's use basketball since we're talking basketball. It's no different than when we say, hey, man, these three guys are going to get together and they're going to have to sacrifice, right? And it's really easy to talk about sacrifice. Russell Westbrook's a perfect example, right? Remember last year? Sacrifice. Well, I know I got to sacrifice. But then when it came to actually sacrificing, do you think he actually really sacrificed, in your opinion?
Don't think so.
Okay. And I would probably agree with you in that situation. So what I'm saying is, very similarly to when players get together, I think it feels like, again, I don't know this because I certainly haven't talked to LeBron, and I certainly haven't talked to anyone in the Lakers. But this feels like that they may have said they knew what they were getting into in this partnership, but I don't think they truly understand what they're getting into with this partnership. And I'll repeat that only because how many times over the time that LeBron has been here have I said on this show, and I'm just talking about the time that you and I have been together, not forget about the 6 or 7 years that I've been here, or at least the 4 that LeBron has, where I've said, man, when you get into business with LeBron James, you better be ready to put all the chips to the center of the table every single chance you get. That's the deal you made when you went into business with him. And this is no different. So this notion that this is new, like, no, it's not new. You've been dealing with, you haven't wanted to see it, if that's the case. You believed in the mythology of your organization more than the personality of the person you went into business with, which, by the way, it's not like that person is being deceiving, because he has said time and time again, hey man, why is it that the organizations have all the say? Why don't the players have some say? So when he's telling you, or reportedly, he's not saying this, but reportedly there's reports out there that say, hey, LeBron's not going to do anything until he sees what the draft and free agency looks like and decide on what he's going to do. Why is that a surprise to anyone if you've already been in business with this person for 3+ seasons, four seasons, whatever.
All right, I'm so glad you've gone through all this. This is excellent analysis by you, George Sedano. But here's the thing. You ready? You started all of this with, let me ask you a question. The question was, do you think that the Lakers knew what they were getting into with LeBron? I said yes, 100%. You said, I'm not so sure. Now I need to come back to you with a question. Are you ready for it?
Do it on the other side. We're back in 2 minutes.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I think we're doing a really interesting Lakers show in between our usual shenanigans, and I want to applaud you, Cappy, for following along and doing it the way we're doing it today.
Really?
And Laura and Lindsay, of course, facilitating us in doing this. Yeah, I mean, you know, people don't say I compliment you enough, and I feel like having given you all those man kisses at the Mandy's would have, you know, maybe made people feel differently. But, you know, I feel like, you know, an occasional compliment doesn't hurt. It's like me giving you proverbial flowers on the air.
Thank you. I still feel bad, though, about one thing, if I'm being honest. You ready?
Sure.
The end of the Mandy's. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is last Friday.
Yeah.
And I know it's 10 days ago, but I know many of us here at the station are still, like, just loving everything that happened. And it seems like everybody who was there was loving it as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like our relationship has grown closer. And I don't mean you and me and Laura and Lindsay. I mean us and everybody who's a 710 fan. I feel like our relationship has grown closer since. Yeah. And it makes me, by the way, George, I'm so excited for next Friday night, July 15th, for our Wiffle Ball Derby, then followed up by our softball all-star game. Mm-hmm. And I think I've made a decision that for the Wiffle Ball Home Run Derby, I'm going to hit righty. But for the actual softball game, I'm going to switch hit and I'm going to hit lefty.
And why would you do that?
I feel like I've been working a little bit on some of my wiffle ball skills. I feel like I swing too hard for the fences when I'm swinging lefty. But when I swing righty, I can one-hand it with just my right hand.
What do you swing normally?
Lefty.
Oh. Okay.
But you see, I go both ways on all this stuff.
Okay now.
Okay. I can hit righty and lefty.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I was playing ping pong righty and lefty when I needed to use my left hand for my mm-hmm. ping pong paddle. Mm-hmm. And when I was back in my old school days, I was a right-footed field goal kicker, but a left-footed punter, George.
Oh, okay.
Now, does this give you some insight into why my brain operates the way it does?
Yeah, you're all screwed up.
I mean, I'm just all over the place.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world now, actually.
But here's the question that I want to ask you, because we've been talking today about
Jeannie
Buss's
tweet. Oh, yeah, we're talking about
the
Lakers. Yeah, what was the question?
We've been talking a lot about Jeannie Buss's tweet today, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the only topic we've had the whole show that is other than our shenanigans, yes.
Well, let me just, before I ask you this question, I want to start off by complimenting Jeannie Buss. I know Jeannie's listening right now. Jeannie, I want to start off with a compliment. This is fantastic engagement. You see, when you put out a tweet like this, when you have this many followers, and you're not really like telling us precisely what you want to say, because at one point you even say, if Kobe Bryant were here, the greatest Laker ever, and he understood all these things, you know, he would say it, but I'm not allowed to. I'm not allowed to say it. I'm just the owner of the team, but I'm not allowed to say it. So when you're cryptic with tweets and you have 5,000 replies and 16,000 retweets and 80,000 likes, when you're only giving us a little piece,
morsel,
that creates opportunities for guys like me in particular to just sort of make up what we think you meant.
Yeah.
So now to my question for you. You started the whole thing today talking about layers and what she might be talking about and why she might send out a tweet like this. But we just spent a whole lot of time talking about LeBron James. And my question now to you is this. After all that analysis.
Yeah. So I basically told you, I don't think that they really understand the relationship that they got into is what I would say.
Right. But now that you've given us that analysis, now don't you think that Jeannie Buss is sending this tweet and she's speaking about LeBron James? Because I'll tell you this, George.
I mean, in the first segment, I told you it was one of the layers.
You know, a lot of people in the Sedano and Cap circle of trust community. Yeah. What?
You didn't hear me say that at the beginning of the show?
No, I heard you say it, but there were so many other things you talked about.
Her feelings are hurt
because people send her hate on Twitter.
Well, but all those things are true, I believe. I don't think it's one thing. Like, I don't think that this entire tweet was about LeBron James.
Okay, well, a lot of people in the Sedano and Cap community, the circle of trust, they think that it's easy and lazy to assume that she's talking about LeBron James. They think, or at least some of them think, that she's talking about Russell Westbrook, which...
I don't think so. Yeah.
Because here's the thing. With LeBron James, could she be talking about his, let's just say he's being pushy internally, get me Kyrie Irving. I don't care what it takes, move heaven and earth, move mountains if you have to, get rid of Russ and get me Kyrie. But LeBron, you wanted Russ last year. That was last year. It didn't work.
Correct.
Kyrie wasn't available. Now he is, theoretically.
Yeah.
I don't care what it takes. You get rid of him and get me him. Could she be talking about the Kyrie Russ situation? Perhaps. Or maybe, and you
No,
just...
no, I do think that I said that's part of it, too. I think that I don't think it's Russell Westbrook specifically. I think it's the fact that they can't get that deal done because, like I told you, the Nets don't want Russell Westbrook. So to get Russell Westbrook, they want to be to deal to take Russell Westbrook and his contract. They're going to want to be incentivized, which means there was a story out there that the Lakers would have to take a couple of years of Joe Harris's contract, which is okay, not great. He's been hurt a lot. He's a really good shooter. He'd actually be really good with LeBron, I think. And, you know, they're going to want the picks. And the Lakers, I told you last week, this is just an educated guess, okay? You follow me? Educated guess?
Yeah, when you say educated guess, I wanted that to, like, marinate for a second, okay? George is about to give an educated guess, which means George knows something. Go ahead.
Educated guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything. Educated guess is the Lakers are willing to part with one of those two draft picks, and they're not willing to part with both. Educated guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I like the educated guess.
Okay. But wait, here's the thing. So what was your question to me then?
Because here's what you said. My question to you is, do you think the tweet was specifically to LeBron? But hold on.
Not just LeBron. I think he's part of it, probably,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we just talked about Kyrie, and could LeBron be pushing the Kyrie acquisition?
Sure. I mean, I don't know that to be the case, but I would totally understand why he would be, yes.
But you just brought this up, though, and I want to get back to it, so here it goes.
Like, would it surprise me if LeBron said, something similar to what you said of, yeah, that was last year, this is this year, go get Kyrie. Because you know what LeBron is used to? LeBron is used to... when he was in Miami, that Pat Riley would be like, hey, this is what we're doing. We're going to get this player. We're going to bring in Shane Battier or Ray Allen or whatever. And he'd be like, great, awesome, let's do it. You know what I mean? And then when he was in Cleveland, David Griffin would be like, hey, we're going to do this year, and we're going to go get this guy, and we're going to do that. And every year it was there, we're going to get someone new to add to their chances to try to win a championship. So that is what LeBron is used to.
Okay, but you brought this up at the end, and I want to get to it. So maybe what Jeannie Buss is saying, especially when she starts getting into the Kobe understood team over self, meaning
I get that. After he retired, I would say there was 100% that was the case.
Listen, if this were politics we were talking about rather than sports, people would call that phraseology political cover. She's invoking the name of Kobe Bryant to say, I'm telling you Kobe was the best Laker ever because he cared more about us than anybody else ever. And that includes Magic, by the way, because that's what she says.
I don't know how I'd feel about that if I were Magic, to be honest with you.
If I were Magic today, I'd be like, Jeannie, yo, what's up? It's Magic. How you doing? The greatest Laker ever. Like,
Magic has also said that, too. But deep down inside, do you think that Magic doesn't believe that he might have been the greatest Laker ever?
Well, look, once you get past the I'm saying Kobe's name, he understood things that I'm not allowed to say. He was the greatest Laker. He understood team over self. Once you get to the next part of it, meaning your rewards would come if you valued team goals over your own, then everything would fall into place. You brought it up, and maybe this is what she means. LeBron hasn't signed his extension. LeBron hasn't committed long-term to the Laker organization. LeBron has this upcoming season. If he doesn't sign a contract at the end of this upcoming year, he'll be free to go wherever he chooses to go. Well, if you love the Lakers and if you want to make it work here and you're committed to the Lakers, not just about, you know, personal records, scoring records, and if you're really committed to championship and us, how come we haven't gotten a new deal in place?
Okay, now you want to role play a little bit?
Oh, I would love to. Who do I get to be?
You get to be the Lakers, whoever you want to be. Jeannie,
okay.
Rob.
No, I want to be Jeannie. I want to be. Okay. Have you seen Jeannie's avatar on her Twitter handle?
Yeah, it's from her Playboy picture back
right.
in the day.
That's
yeah.
I want to be Jeannie right now.
Okay, you can feel free to be Jeannie. All right, so I'll be LeBron. Is that okay?
Okay, I like when you're LeBron.
Okay. So you just laid all that on me just now.
Right.
And then I'm going to ask you some questions as LeBron, okay?
Okay, I'll be Jeannie.
Hey, Jeannie, so remember when I came here in 2018?
I do. Oh, by the way, LeBron, I have a little bit of a cold, so don't mind my voice.
Yeah, no problem. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
So, do you remember when I came here in 2018? Yes, you do?
Yeah, I do, of course. How could
okay.
I forget?
You hadn't made the playoffs in 6 years, correct?
Been a long time.
Yeah. I also came here and did something contractually that I had never done in Cleveland, which is where, you know, I was drafted, and I gave you guys 4 years, no opt-outs. I feel like that's a pretty big commitment by me. Like, the only other team that had gotten that was Miami on a 6-year deal with an opt-out after 4. And so you're telling me that I haven't committed to this team. I committed to this team for 4 years, and I reserve the right to reevaluate my situation. Maybe we should have done a better job of taking advantage of the situation we had at the moment. I understand there was some bad luck that went down during that time as well. Injuries to myself, injuries to AD, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And last year, obviously, there's a lot of, you know, blame to go around. But I did commit to you in a way that I had never committed to anyone else previously.
Well, that was very nice of you. Very, very sweet of you. And what we did is we gave you that 4-year contract. You made a lot of money. And by the way, not only did you make a lot of money as a player, but your off-the-floor business has benefited tremendously because the Laker brand is an established monster brand in the entertainment world, and you and I joined forces, and you have seen the benefit of all of that. And just let me remind you of one other quick thing. You know, in 3 of your 4 years, you know, you've missed a lot of time due to injury, and, you know, we've changed over this roster year after year because that's what you've wanted to do. So we have really acquiesced in so many ways, and we've handed our franchise over to you. So why are you not signing this extension so that we know we've got you for the next 3 years?
Again, because it is my right as someone who's, you know, has a contract to be able to assess my situation and make a decision that's best for me.
Yeah, well, you just said it. You just said it, LeBron. It's all about what's best for you rather than what's best for us.
By the way, yeah, you knew that going in. Yeah, us is if I'm successful, we're successful.
I don't know.
That's
were you successful last year? Were you successful last season?
Not really. We weren't that successful.
No, but you as an individual, did you have a good year?
I mean, I put up numbers, but that's not how I measure success.
Oh, okay. How do you measure success?
Championships.
Then why did we go out and get Russell Westbrook for you? Is he a championship caliber
personality? Oh, did I make you, hold on, did I tie you and everyone into a chair and put the phone to your ear to call the Washington Wizards?
And you held me down and you
I
said,
suggested
do what I tell
Russell
you to
Westbrook.
Do?
And then everyone agreed on Russell Westbrook. I didn't do that by myself.
No, actually, we all didn't agree, but we just did whatever you told us to do.
No, okay, well, then whose fault is that?
That's our fault.
Okay, then yeah, thanks. It's nice seeing you, Jeannie. Take care.
It was our fault.
Yeah.
How do you feel like, was that a good performance by you? I mean, do you feel like you played a good LeBron there?
I mean, I'm doing LeBron because I'm playing LeBron because, I don't think LeBron has ever hidden the way he believes about player empowerment. And I think that's what this is about.
What do you think about my Jeannie, though? I mean, did you like my Jeannie, my version?
Yeah, I thought you did a really good job. I actually feel like you were very forceful. I like it.
Well, I wonder if she's really that forceful. I mean, it's easy for me to play Jeannie. I don't know if, you know, how easy or how hard it is when you're really Jeannie. And there's LeBron sitting across from you and you're like, oh my God, I want to say all these things.
I know, but you are very combative. I mean, I don't feel like Jeannie would be, I think she would be more, more decorum, I guess, in the way
she'd be much more diplomatic than me. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, maybe she needs to get tough. Tell him the truth, Jeannie. I mean, don't send out cryptic tweets that makes LeBron. Because here's the thing, George, we haven't really thought about it. If LeBron, when LeBron sees her tweet, which I'm sure he already has, he might be sitting there going, Is she talking to me? Is Jeannie Buss talking? Do you think she's talking about me? Do you think she's talking about us?
Let me ask you a question. Remember, yeah. I said this earlier, a second ago. I said, if I'm successful, we're successful, right? Because you asked me how do I measure success? Mm-hmm. Championships. And if I'm successful, we're successful. And basically, that's what I'm saying is, and so Sacco just tweeted this in the community. He says, if what Sedano is saying is true about Jeannie's tweets, I don't see what the issue is. Bron wanting to help his legacy means more titles for us, as in the Lakers. F them picks. And that's basically it. F them picks is what he's telling you.
Hey, listen, I'm all about that philosophy, okay? I know everybody talks about the 27 pick and the 29 pick, and I will tell you this. In 2027, I don't know where I'm going to be and what I got going on in my life. I don't. In 2029, same thing. Let me ask you, George. Today is 2022, 5 years from now. You got a crystal ball? You know exactly what's happening in your world?
Well, me, no.
Yeah, me neither. Neither is anybody. Neither is Jeannie, neither is LeBron. So, look, forget 2027. Forget 2029. You got to try and win now. Period, end of conversation.
Yeah.
So, I don't. This whole notion of we got to hold on to these picks, we got to think about the future. No, you have to think about the now, the present. And based on what Golden State did this year, and based on what the Clippers have, at least on paper, that is being so highly touted, winning now is not just, hey, we have LeBron, we're automatically going to win, or at least we're going to be there. You have a lot of work to do, and it's all about now, not 27 and 29.
And that's why, and you're in this situation that you're desperate, let's be honest. So that's why you have to get married to Kyrie, because he gives you your best chance of winning a championship. That's the reality of it.
That is so hard to believe.
I mean, it's you can say it's hard to believe, but it's the reality of the situation.
What's hard to believe is Kyrie Irving. Think about the sentence you're saying.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving gives you the best chance. If you told me Steph Curry, I'd be like, yeah, Steph Curry, for sure. Naturally.
Right, but Kyrie Irving's talent is equivalent to anyone that you would bring up for the most part.
Right, right. But if Steph Curry is a 100 on the mental side, where's Kyrie Irving on the mental side?
You're saying on the...
Meaning player for player, Kyrie and Steph, you'd take one or the other. You know what I'm saying? They're both brilliantly talented.
I mean, I would take
physically.
Steph, but I mean, from a skill perspective, it's not that far.
No, but forget about that.
You're talking about dependability, is what you're saying.
Yes,
reliability.
Professionalism. Yeah. Somebody who cares about his teammates.
Right, but here's what I would tell you. And I know, Laura, we're way over the break. At this point, we just keep going, and I'll break in a second. But what I would add to you is this. If you think Kyrie Irving, you don't think Kyrie Irving... I think Kyrie Irving is a smart dude. I think sometimes maybe he is a little... He gets a little... He goes down the rabbit hole a little too much, right, is what I would say sometimes on some of the stuff that he says. The whole flat earth stuff or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. However, I think Kyrie Irving is a really smart dude. I also think Kyrie Irving understands he's reading, how to read the room. When he asked for a trade cap, you know what happened? And he had a list of teams. You know how many teams knocked on the door?
All of them?
No, one of them.
Now, isn't that interesting?
The Lakers. So Kyrie Irving, hence, opted in because he realized, you know what? That's the only play I've got. So Kyrie Irving knows that if he gets traded to the Lakers, he has to play well because he has to play well because he wants to continue playing basketball and being paid a handsome amount of money. So if he wants to do that, he has to be a good teammate and be someone who is dependable and relied upon, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
at
now
the very
question
least,
is, can he do
for
that?
One season?
Yeah, can he do it? My answer is this. Not sure.
No, because I would say, what is that saying? The something of something is necessity.
The something of something is necessity? Is that the one you're talking about? The one about that one? I know exactly which one you're talking about. People say it all the time. The something of something is necessity. No, I know the phrase. I know it. And I'm really bad at cliches, George. And I screw cliches up all the damn time. So I'm loving the fact that you can't get this one out. But I know the one
normally
you're talking
I'm
about.
Good.
I know the one you're talking about. The invention of all stuff is desperation. No, that's not it.
I mean, it's something like that.
The something
but anyway.
Of something is something.
Right. something like that. I'll figure it out on the other side.
All right.
But either way, what I would say to you is this. Kyrie Irving has no choice but to be relied upon for next season because he wants a new contract.
Right. So but you know what he could have done, George? He could have said, you know, I know that there is a perception about me out there in the world, in the NBA universe. And people think I'm out of my mind, and they think I sacrificed $15 million this year. You know what? Money's not the most important thing to me. I'll go play for the $6 million so that I'm on the team that I want to be on. I'll prove to everybody what I need to prove to everybody, and I'll make the money up in a long-term contract extension thereafter. But he didn't do that because he said, you know what? What if I decide this year, like, I only want to play, like, half the games, and then next year no one wants to give me the kind of money that a player of my caliber would normally get, so I better go get this $36 million this year.
He wants more than just $36 million, bro.
I'm sure he does. I'm quite
By the way, necessity is the mother of invention. That's the phrase I was looking for.
That was very good. Well done. Yeah. Necessity is the mother of invention.
All right. Lindsay's award-winning invention, Radio Tinder, is up in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you, Christopher. Really excited to do some Radio Tinder. And shout out to Mason and Ireland for the Seinfeld reference because, you know, that's a funny thing when, you know, Mason just switches topics out of nowhere and they play the Seinfeld thing.
Yeah.
It's very funny. Very funny.
By the way, shout out to Danny H. who said necessity is the mother of invention. And I got to shout out Bill Russ who says invention is the mother of necessity. Bill, you got it backwards, pal.
That sounds like something you would say, Cap.
Right. I know. It's all in the community. It's happening right now.
All right. So I wonder what the community thinks about this. Did you guys know that even if, like, let's say Albert Pujols, for example, is not voted into the MLB All-Star Game this year, that the veteran slugger could still suit up for the National League at Dodger Stadium? Mm-hmm. That's because there's a new clause in the collective bargaining agreement that most people didn't hear about until, like, now, which allows Commissioner Rob Manfred to select an additional player to each roster in recognition of their career achievements. And it's called the Legends Clause. So in addition to the 32 players elected and selected, the commissioner may choose to add one player to the AL and the NL roster to acknowledge the player's career achievements, the clause states. And if special circumstances warrant, the commissioner may select more than one player to each league's roster. So basically now there's a clause in the CBA that the commissioner can just add guys to the All-Star team for whatever reason he deems necessary. Do you guys like this idea? Swipe left or swipe right, Sedano?
I would say mostly I don't like it. So I would swipe left. I think there are moments where you can invoke that clause. For example, let's just say, I don't know, let's use Mookie Betts, right? Let's say Mookie Betts at the end of his career, he's been with the Dodgers now for 10 years or whatever it's been, right? But he's probably not putting up all-star numbers, but he's meant so much to the game. He's probably, by this stage of his career, let's say he's got a bunch of records, right? And whatever, or Mike Trout even, whoever, whichever one you want to pick, right? But they're not having an all-star caliber year in their last season.
What about Pujols, for example?
Pujols, another good example. And you want to give them like an honorary last time out all-star game appearance? I'm cool with that. But I don't think you should do that every year. I think that should be like a special occasion for like a legend type.
So I'm going to swipe right here and I'm going to tell you that I actually do like this. And I'm going to explain why. Because you see, Lindsay, you brought up Albert Pujols. And Albert Pujols is certainly worthy of an ovation. He's worthy of being called a legendary all-star, even though this year He's really just kind of a ceremonial St. Louis Cardinal, and I say it like that, not that I'm watching a lot of Cardinals baseball to have any idea what Albert Pujols is doing this year. Mm-hmm. But here's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. What would you say?
Let's say the commissioner used it on Clayton Kershaw. The All-Star game's at Dodger Stadium. Kershaw is not having an All-Star first half of the year. He was injured for much of it. Pitched really nice on Sunday. But Clayton Kershaw's not having an All-Star season. So what if the commissioner said, it's in Dodger Stadium, and I think that one of the all-time great Dodgers should be recognized versus Albert Pujols, whose career has been great, but it's not like he was impactful while in Anaheim, certainly not in the L.A. market. So what if I told you that Kershaw was the commissioner's pick? Would you like it then?
I don't know, because, I think that Kershaw is – I think if I knew it was Kershaw's last season, then yes. Then I'd be okay with it. But it's not like Tony Gonsolin is probably not going to start the All-Star game, so he's going to be a Dodger representative. I understand he's not Clayton Kershaw, but would I like, you know, if I knew this was it for Clayton, yes, I would say yes.
Think he's back with the Dodgers next year?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, just take a guess, though.
Maybe.
Okay, I'm going to say probably not. So if, again, the Dodgers host the All-Star game, it's in Dodger Stadium, and Clayton Kershaw's not an All-Star. I mean, if the commissioner said, no, we have to do something with Clayton Kershaw, I'd be like, of course you should. Naturally. If you told me it was Albert Pujols, I don't know.
Go ahead, Kev. Well, there's a lot of people that think that Clayton Kershaw should just start, even though Tony Gonsolin's like doing something that no one has ever done, I think, in National League history. With his 10-0 record plus the strikeouts at this point in the season.
And the lowest ERA in the sport, yeah.
Right. At this point in the season, no one else has ever done that.
I think Tony Gonsolin should get the start because of that. Yeah, I would not want to see Clayton Kershaw take his place in that scenario.
And neither does Kershaw, because he's already been quoted as saying, I would love to be part of the All-Star game, but not at the expense of somebody on my team.
Right. So there you go. Yeah. So you have your own answer. Why did you ask us?
No. Not to start the game. To be honored.
Even on the team, though, he just said. Yeah, so no.
No, but this is the commissioner putting him on there.
Yeah, I don't think the commissioner should put him on there unless we know it's his last season. Like, again, and if he hasn't said that, then that's on him.
Okay, so you think Pujols should get that pick this year?
If we know it's Albert's last year, sure, I would be okay with it.
I think he should. Especially since he played for the Dodgers last year and, you know.
He actually did pretty well with the Dodgers, I thought, last year.
He came up with some clutch hits.
Yeah,
I think he played a hand in their little... You know,
I mean, the NBA did that with Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade in the same All-Star game. It's the only time they've done it.
And plus, it's not like it's taking away from anyone else. He's just adding him onto the roster.
Yeah. So I liked that. I thought that was cool that they did that because they don't do it every year, is my point. They just it was a one-time thing. And it doesn't mean it won't happen again because now there's precedent to it. But it's not an every year thing.
I wonder if the commissioner has the right to pick nobody.
He does. Maybe. The way that it's laid out that Ken Rosenthal reported, it's basically he has the authority to select basically two players and for special circumstances, additional ones after that. So it's not like he has to do it.
All right. Well, let's do one more Radio Tinder so we do more than one question.
Okay. So I was in Vegas this weekend, obviously, with my friend. And on Sunday, one of his army buddies arrived in Vegas. And his buddy only budgeted for, I think it was like $500 for gambling, right? And he lost it pretty much right away. Well, yesterday, my friend gave him $200 so they could continue gambling together. And his friend hit $10,000 on a slot machine last night.
Right.
Wow.
Crazy. And I was so jealous. Should he give him any of the money that he won? Swipe left or swipe right?
I would give him... Oh, go ahead.
Well, okay. I will swipe right. And I'll say this. He lost $500.
Right.
But then his friend gave him $200.
Yeah, right. He's like, I have no more money budgeted to gamble. Like, I'm done.
Right.
And his friend was like, here, come on. Like, this is no fun if I'm the only one gambling. Here's $200. And he's like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. So he hit 10 grand. All right, make this quick, Cappy.
So you ready? You give him back his original 200.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And then you put a little sugar on top.
Yeah. Well, how much sugar, though?
Could be 200 more. Hey, you gave me 200.
200 more? That's it?
I give him like 5 grand.
No, I would say at the very least, you give him 4 grand because, 200 is, 40% of $500 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, at least 4 grand.
See, I was going to say give him an even number. I was going to say give him an even $1,000. You know?
You're cheap, Cappy.
Well, I don't know about cheap. I mean, listen, there's nothing that says he has to reward him. So wait, here's the question,
though. He doesn't
have
to do anything, but at the very least, do it by percentages.
Okay, yeah. But wait, but here's my question. What did your friend do? What did the army buddy who had no money, who won the 10 grand, what did he do?
I haven't asked him yet about it because he was flying home today. So he texted, like, I was asleep because I got home yesterday. And he texted me that, and I woke up to the text, and he was flying home today. So I'm going to call him after the show and find out what happened.
10%, 15%. I mean, yeah, you know, pretty standard fees here.
All right. That's Radio Tinder each and every day at 5:30. We were a little late on that one, and it's all presented by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small-batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and do what I do. Demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. All right, we're going to take a break from the Lakers for one segment because I do want to talk about the Dodgers this weekend. There's, like, a lot of good stuff. Some not so good stuff, but I want to get into all that in one segment. We'll do that next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Very good, Chris. Very, very good.
This song, I remember when it came out, people were freaking out about it. We always end up, not we, you and me, but like society, man, always freaks out about music.
I remember when this song came out, and my daughters were, I don't remember what year this was. What year did we say it was, guys? But
Lindsay,
let me look. Hang on.
I remember my daughters. My daughters were all young, and I was like, they're walking around going, "I kissed a girl, and I liked it." And I was like, "God, this song is great. I love
2008.
It. It's catchy." 2008, right? So my girls were all young, and my daughters were all like really young kids, and they're all walking around singing this song. And I'm like, "Oh God, what's gonna happen?" You know, these girls are gonna be
Why?
Like,
"Who cares?"
No, no, it's all good. Like back then, I was a little like more tightly wound. I think you know the kids were super young. Now I'm like, you know, I was out this weekend and I saw two girls making out in a bar and I was like, oh my God, that's so hot. So that's you know, how my mind has changed
okay.
a little bit, you know?
Okay.
No, it happened. I saw that this weekend. It's just the way it goes. What can I tell you?
Such a weirdo.
No, it's true, dude. I was at this concert bar like thing and like there were these two really attractive
cool,
ladies
Cappy,
and they were making out,
just,
you know? And
that's all we need. That's all we need.
Yeah, yeah, we don't need to go any further. Yeah. It's all good.
Oh, you
Laura's
guys
right.
are so
yeah.
uptight. Give me a break.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. It's a song, dude.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that happens in real life.
Yeah, yeah. It does.
I
clearly,
the girl
you've seen
and
it.
I liked it. You know,
just like guys make out with women and guys make out with guys, like people kissing and showing affection. There's nothing wrong with that. You know,
I kissed you at the Mandy's like four times.
Yeah. Well, and you know what I meant to say to you earlier, George. The one like small regret that I have about that kiss that you gave me is at the end of the night. You know, I was jumping around, bumping, bump. Bing, ba da ba. And I was jumping around all over the stage and I started like, you know, the lights were hot. I'm sweating my ass off up there, yeah. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you kissed me like five times and then you were like, ugh, you're disgusting.
I did say that to you.
You're like, you're gross. You're like, yeah. like I mean, you don't hug LeBron after a game, right? Because he's all yeah. sweaty and gross, right? But yeah. you hugged me like as if it was after a game and I sweated all over you.
Yeah, it was gross. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
And
pal.
I said that. I was like, ugh.
Yeah, you were like, disgusting, gross, you animal. Oh, it's true.
Anyway, real quick on the Dodgers. So, do you want to start with the good stuff or the bad stuff?
Yeah, give me the good stuff.
I mean, well, the good stuff is fairly clear, right? Like, the good stuff is, you know, they've won a bunch of games recently, right? So, there's that. I mean, well, they blew that last one to San Diego. So they're,
yeah, but I mean, listen, here's the thing. The series against the Padres always try to measure themselves against the Dodgers. Who
yep.
are we? How close are we?
Yeah.
And what the Padres found out is,
they're
yet again,
yeah.
they're outclassed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation is the Dodgers today are still the Dodgers. And the Padres are still the Padres.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers, statistically speaking, not an opinion, a fact, they own the Padres. So while the Padres look to the Dodgers to try and get a read on who they are, the Dodgers don't look at the Padres that way.
No, no, absolutely not. And by the way, shout out again to Trace, who had a three-run home run. You know, I mean, they were getting... I mean, there were being no hit through four innings yesterday against the Rockies, and Trace came up in a big spot there. But
well, how about shout out to Mookie Betts? You talk about like coming back quickly.
Oh my God, and he got a double on his first at bat. It was insane.
And but wait, not only do you come back from this rib injury, but you also move to second base.
Right.
Now, a lot of people might go, "What's the big deal? He's played there before."
On.
Dude, you're coming. You've missed however many games it's been.
Yeah.
You've got an injured rib, and now you're going to play another position and play it really, really well. Shout out to Mookie.
Yeah, no doubt. So there's that, and then there's the bad. And so the one game that they lost was, you know, we were talking about Clayton Kershaw a second ago, was a great Clayton Kershaw start, which, by the way, Clayton Kershaw was not, let's just say he wasn't great in his opportunity against the Rockies, okay? But what ended up happening was the Kimbrel coaster came in. And the Kimbrel coaster gave up three runs.
We need like a woo, like a roller coaster sound effect for that.
Yeah, and it wasn't good.
You better get it quickly because I don't know how much longer this is actually going to last.
Yeah, I mean, he – and look, I saw Dontrelle Willis after the game, and I love the D-train, okay? And, you know, he said that, oh, you know, he got hit in the back. And he did. And I'm not saying that that didn't play a factor in his implosion in that game. But let's just say he has blown a couple of opportunities here over the last, I think he's blown, I want to say, three out of his last, like, eight or nine, something like that. That's not great.
Two come to mind recently, but keep going. Yeah.
But look, so my point is that
you've been on this for a while about Kimbrel.
Well, I didn't think he was good even when he was perfect, you know, like per se on save opportunities. I thought he had been flirting with disaster. And now we're seeing the disaster actually manifest. And, you know, again, I don't want to see anybody get hurt or get hit in the back or anything like that. And again, I'm not saying it didn't have a factor in that individual performance. But the individual performances prior to that were not great either.
No,
so,
I mean, look, in that
real quick. Yeah. His stats, real quick. In his last seven games, he's 1-2 with a 7.11 ERA.
There you go.
And,
I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. Look,
his ERA in general is almost a five.
Look, when he got hit in the back the other day, could that have thrown him off? Sure, it could have. Okay, fine.
Right.
You know, but he struck out Manny Machado it was his first at bat of the inning.
Yeah.
Then Jake Cronenworth hits him off the bat in the back. Then the next batter up, Luke Voit hits a double. You know, this was deep. And then, by the way, once he was pulled, no, he actually still faced Eric Hosmer, who's just, I mean, trash.
Right, but Hosmer had the big hit, yeah.
Yeah, but still, even Almonte, who came in after that,
he got
came
tattooed
up a huge home
well.
Run.
To
a guy who's hitting like 180.
Yeah.
So it was the Dodgers had total control of the series. They could have very easily have swept it. I know Padre fans were like, well, hey, man, we got one. That's really good news. I'm like, no, dude, you got completely owned and you're completely outclassed. Don't savor the last victory. You know, because, hey, we at least got one. No, that was horrible. I mean, for the Dodgers, it was no problem. For the Padres, it was like, that's who you are. You're still the little brother.
And then, you know, obviously against the Rockies, because of what happened to Kimbrel and him pitching that many games, they brought in Almonte. Now, Maranta came in first, and he gave up some yams and players on base. Now, Almonte gave up a hit that allowed a run to score. Now, that one was scored to Maranta. But Almonte did eventually close it out and did get that last out. Now, I know Almonte is not a household name, and I know he's been shaky even in these last two appearances. I would give him a shot. I would. I would give him or Gratterall a shot, but I think Almonte can be a real closer. I know Blake, our Dodger insider Blake Harris, thought that that was a really hot take. I still think he can be the guy.
I would say that as Andrew Friedman is looking at the remainder of this season, the one thing he could look at, and again, we're getting close to the All-Star break here, but the Dodgers have a five-game lead. Because not only did San Diego lose three out of four, then they went home and they lost two straight to Seattle, of all teams, right?
Yeah.
So the Dodgers have a five-game lead over the Padres. They've got a 9.5 game lead over San Francisco. If you're Andrew Friedman and you're looking at your team, you're like, what do we need? Maybe we need another starting pitcher, and we definitely need a closer.
All right, coming up next, we'll get back to the Lakers. So there is some reporting on this whole Kyrie situation, and I know a lot of people have a lot of comments on our interpretation of the Genie Bus tweet. We'll get to all that coming up. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. We're back in 2 minutes.